This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's hour two of the nation. We are talking some college sports here with you. We're going to open with college football, and we're looking at A&M. Is this the year they finally realize their potential and contend? Okay, that's going to be sort of the positive spin on this. Meanwhile, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, has the Aggies atop the annual underachiever tiers. Is this guy straight hating or doing journalism? We'll see if we media watchdog Adam here in just a few minutes. General at your service. Here's Brian Broaddus. He hails from a family of Aggie royalty. His dad was a bag man.
Was.
Okay. So
proud bag man.
He's got great perspective on all things Aggies. Looking forward to his thoughts on this story. Lucius Alexander's the Pimp Cup. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Chiafalo and Wolchuk will be back next week. Okay. Wolchuk has your Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30 this evening here.
Miss those dudes, man.
On the Fan. Yeah, I do too.
They are good.
I thought we've done a great job this week, though.
I do too, and it's like say it's funny because we got in that nice rhythm there at training camp. I mean,
yeah.
The interviews and stuff like that. That's what I envisioned that show. A lot of fun, you know, sports, but a lot of fun. And those cats are a lot of fun,
no doubt. And they shall return. Chiafalo will be refreshed. Wolchuk, he's burning it at both ends.
He is
essentially doing two jobs for us here at the Fan.
That's
yes. Okay, AP Top 25 is going to be out Monday. The Aggies already in the coaches' top 10. The story about them in the morning news today points the last five times A&M opened the season in the top 10, it failed to finish there.
Yeah.
Dating back to 1995, dude. That's a long time.
Yeah, they the last time they won a conference title, I believe, was 1994. That's with R.C. Slocum at the helm. Texas A&M.
So the writer here, Chuck, says that there is a ton of talent to the point they could be favored for the title in 2025 if their historic recruiting class develops. But there's enough that maybe they start to get there early. You buying or selling Aggies finishing the year in the top 10, Brian? I would be surprised. They're only returning 9 starters. It's not clear who's playing quarterback, but they do have a 5-star freshman jumping in there. So if, can quarterbacks be excellent as freshmen in today's game? Yes.
Yeah.
It's not, it's not as rare as it used to be. I wouldn't bet on it, though. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, they got banged up at quarterback last year. They lost their starter, I believe they're in the Colorado game, is when things kind of went a little bit south for Texas A&M there. You mentioned them as the underachievers. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they just have so many resources. The Aggies are more than willing to build and make better and, big shiny things and all that. And that's what's super impressive about that. The evaluation of the players, though, when you look at it overall, you kind of feel like for all that they have and for all that has been put on them as recruiting class and stuff like that, they haven't had as many of those top rated. I mean, there's been guys. I mean, we've talked about defensive ends coming out of there and stuff. We there are a guy with the Browns and stuff like that as being a top player that's a defensive end, but they seem to, with what they have, not live up to the high. They win. They're 8-4. They've had seasons where they won 10, 11, 12 games. But it just seems like when they take two steps forward, it's
one
step forward, two steps back. Yeah, it's more 8-4. So I'm interested because there's a lot of commitment to trying to get that thing to win a national champion. And they haven't had one since, I believe, 1939. Teams like BYU have had national championships.
It's tough.
It's tough. That's tough, especially with the amount of money that the alumni put into that program, not only with the coaching staff, with the facilities to go out and get the players. It's about time for those players to step up a little bit, too.
Yeah.
And maybe we've over-evaluated some of the players at Texas A&M, but, you know, playing the SEC, it's not an easy thing. But Texas A&M did get a victory against Alabama last year, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I think they're in a different sandbox when it comes to the talent. I believe Jimbo is going to get them there eventually.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of could you be a little bit ahead of schedule and get it done now. A decade ago when Johnny was down there, it appeared they were turning the corner. And then, what was it, Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray were heading there. And you figured, wow, between one of these guys, they're really going to light the world on fire. And it just kind of fizzled after that. So I know Aggies fans are passionate. Boy, you talk to some Aggies fans, and they are amongst the most passionate sports fans that you will find. And they're frustrated, but they also really, really believe in this team. And I don't feel like their belief is, you know, misplaced anymore, Brian.
No, it really isn't, because they're told, hey, listen, just keep giving, and we'll turn this thing around. You know, and they've brought in some outstanding players. I want to see Texas A&M, now maybe I don't want to see this because of being an LSU alum, but I want to see a day where Texas A&M has as many players going the first round as Alabama has.
There you go.
Where it's like, you know, wow, Alabama just put 6-7 guys in the first round. Yeah. Offensive linemen, rush ends, linebacker, cornerback. You know, there might be a day where that happens at Texas A&M, and when that does happen – I felt like that always, that Texas A&M was going to be the one team that was always going to compete against Alabama, just because all the things I just said, the facilities, the commitment from the alumni base, you know, just going out and getting players. If, you know, that's where we're at right now. That's the biggest fear that Alabama has. Nick Saban's biggest fear is what's going on in College Station right now.
There you go. I think that's a good indicator.
Yeah.
Okay, A&M's overrated, says the 214-817. Keep an eye out for the freshman wide receiver, Evan Stewart. He was the spring MVP, first-round kind of guy.
Yeah, there you go.
254, A&M isn't even the best team in the state. Laugh my ass off and chill, guys. The entire station stays talking about them. And Texas, meanwhile, Baylor's building a dynasty and gets no love.
Baylor's done a nice job. Then Dave Aranda, who was at LSU's defensive coordinator, has done a great job of rebuilding that team. You know, last year they get the victory in the Sugar Bowl. You know, Matt Corral, they force him out of the game. I think that helped their cause. But yeah, I mean, but let's be honest. Oklahoma State was inches away, diving at the pylon to beat you in the Big 12. Yeah. You know, championship game. So let's you know, be a little honest about that too.
I think Baylor fans should be very proud of what they've built.
Sure, they should.
It's shown incredible resiliency. Yeah. You got a lot of great things going on in Waco, but the ceiling's not there. Like, I don't know if Baylor's ceiling is any higher or as high as Oregon's. You know, you have to think of, like, is our brand big enough to propel us into absolute dominance? And you know, no offense, but places like Baylor and Oklahoma State and TCU, when the big programs with massive budgets are down, that's when you can have some success and win some conference championships and maybe put yourself in position to be in a playoff. But what we're talking about is getting to an upper level where it's like the playoffs are expected and you're up there with the Clemson, Georgias, and Bamas. Do you really think Baylor can get there? Maybe for a brief window, for like a 2-year period, if they manage to secure like a Heisman quality quarterback. That's what it's going to take for them to be there.
They did that. They did that, you know, with Griffin III.
Yeah.
And they got their facilities rebuilt down there. But then you had the complete scandal. You know, that, let's not forget what happened at Baylor. You know, that whole thing. I mean, you had to go, Matt Rhule came in there and cleaned up a huge mess at Baylor. And so, you know, don't forget that happened to you as well.
214, A&M is the joke of Texas. 817, Baylor will always be subpar to TCU, so let's not go overboard. Baylor can't beat the Aggies, says the 903. Yeah, a lot of good texts coming in. Boy, you start talking about a college football team and everybody comes out of the woodwork to either love on them or hate them or, you know, tell you you're an idiot. Meanwhile, okay, I don't know. I can't tell if this is a negative view from Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, or if this is something to get excited about. Texas A&M Aggies top annual underachiever tiers of college football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. Last year, if you're like, oh, we're underachievers, oh, this sucks, or you know, you're hooking right now, and you're like, ha, 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 Aggies, you guys are massive underachievers. Last year, Georgia topped the underachiever tiers.
Sure did.
They were, in fact, the inspiration for the list that Rittenberg put together. The Bulldogs had not won a national championship in 45 years or something like that. Yeah, 35 years.
Yeah.
Behind a historically elite defense, Georgia went on to capture first title since 80. Perhaps A&M, which has an even longer drought without a national title, soon can surge all the way to the top. The most recent recruiting cycle suggests it's possible. The goal of this ranking is to identify programs that can break through despite plenty of paths that haven't been able to break through despite plenty of paths to success. So I'm going to give you these, you know, pathways to success that the Aggies have had and not been able to capitalize on. And I'm sure part of it's embarrassing. Like, wow, we have all of this and can't win more. But the other part is very, very encouraging, okay, at 877-881-1053. A year ago, A&M shared the second tier with UCLA and Texas. But in terms of long-term underachievement, the Aggies were closer to Georgia. The 21 season didn't help the team's reputation coming off a number four finish in 2020. A&M entered the fall ranked number six, but ended up 8-4 in an all-too-familiar result. Other than an upset of number one Bama, Aggies coach Jimbo Fisher became the first ex-Nick Saban assistant to beat Saban. A&M is a largely forgettable season, though. Since 94, when R.C. Slocum led Texas A&M to a 10-0-1 record at number eight final ranking, the Aggies have lost four more games 23 times. The team has two 11-win seasons and eight 9-win seasons during that span. It's gross, including the 9-1 mark during the pandemic-shortened 2020 campaign. Conference play has been especially tough as A&M has at least three league losses in 20 of the past 23 seasons. All this while A&M has a massive and dedicated fan base, deep-pocketed donors, sparkling facilities, and a location in Southeast Texas with prime access to Houston and fertile recruiting grounds. A&M spent nearly $485 million renovating Kyle Field, gave Fisher a $75 million contract, and last fall announced a $205 million facility plan for football and track. They are the number one team in the entire country, Brian, as far as having reasons that should spell success but not having any success. Would you be ashamed of that or encouraged by it?
I would be ashamed by it because, to me, That's where the difference. I mean, I was just going through their schedule, and I was just going through the SEC part of their schedule because that's where they're gonna make it or not. And I look at games. I'm trying to think. Okay, you know, what if you get a win at Alabama? Say you do beat Alabama, you know, then likely the next week you go to South Carolina and something happens, or Ole Miss, Florida, Auburn. I mean, you've got all these other games. The problem is Texas A&M hasn't been able to put together. I think Kellen Mond, that year that they went to the Orange Bowl, I think they were 9-1. That was during the pandemic. They did a much better job. Texas A&M has those weird games where they lose to somebody they shouldn't lose to. And I think that's more about why you should be ashamed. There are games that they lost to Texas. They lost to LSU last year, last game of the year. You know, LSU was struggling to be 500, you know, got, you know, just not very good. And then you lose games. That's what Texas A&M has become.
Yeah.
That you like, oh, hey, we had a great victory against Alabama. Oh, by the way, they lost the following week at South Carolina. Yeah. Or they lose at LSU. Or they lose to, you know, Ole Miss or Mississippi State, somebody like that. That's the problem with Texas A&M. They can't, you know, Alabama rarely has those games. They might lose one, but they don't lose two or three others in the SEC that gets them, you know, knocked out.
It's insane. It's the most difficult gauntlet to run in the history of college sports, getting through the SEC. You have to beat multiple teams that, for other programs, if you just beat one of those, it'd be a great year. Holy cow, we beat them. Yeah. Oh, wow. And they're all over the place. And then there's speed bumps out there of teams that the country doesn't believe are good. But because they play in the SEC, they are actually pretty damn good. Yeah. And they can upset you on any given day. So how do you play 13 games, beat national title contenders three times, and avoid speed bumps as just another team? It's impossible. And that's why the SEC teams are most often laying waste once they get to the playoffs. They are so much better than the rest of the country, Brian.
They do. And Texas A&M is capable of being like Alabama, capable of being like Ohio State, capable of being Clemson, very capable of doing it. They just have to find a way not to have bad losses along the way. Arkansas, Mississippi State, LSU. You can't have losses to those teams along the way. Those teams aren't better than you. Arkansas, for a while there, they were in the top 10, went to Georgia, got whacked, came back, played Kentucky, got whacked. I mean, that's the thing about it. The SEC, you can't hide playing in the SEC.
No.
You can't hide. There's nowhere to hide. You will be exposed if you're not good at it, but you also can't lose to the teams that aren't better than you. You just can't. And that happens to A&M far too much, and that's why they would fall on this list as underachievers.
Massive underachievers, the number one seed and underachieving. Okay, we might be heading for expansion in the NCAA basketball tournament. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey talking about that, pointing out that the team that won the College World Series, Mississippi, was the last team into that 64-team field. So he's looking to expand that big dance maybe out to 128 teams or something. I don't think I want to do that. No. I don't like it being at 68. Leave it at 64. You know, at 128, does the regular season matter? What's going on here? Yeah. I don't think it does once you get to be that big. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. When we return, it is time for our 320 segment. Cowboys insider Bobby Belt's going to preview tomorrow's preseason opener and explains why he thought it was okay to watch an inappropriate movie on his flight home from Oxnard. That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.